touches their heart, then the discourses given will not be without effect. Guided by the teachings of God's Word, with the manifestation of His Spirit, in the exercise of sound discretion, those who attend our meetings will gain a precious experience, and returning home will be prepared to exert a healthful influence. The old standard bearers knew what it was to wrestle with God in prayer and to enjoy the outpouring of His Spirit, but these are passing off the stage of action. And who are coming up to fill their places? How is it with the rising generation? Are they converted to God? Are we awake to the work that is going on in the heavenly sanctuary, or are we waiting for some compelling power to come upon the church before we shall arouse? Are we hoping to see the whole church revived? That time will never come. There are persons in the church who are not converted and who will not unite in earnest, prevailing prayer. We must enter upon the work individually. We must pray more and talk less. Iniquity abounds, and the people must be taught not to be satisfied with the form of godliness without the Spirit and power. If we are intent upon searching our own hearts, putting away our sins, and correcting our evil tendencies, our souls will not be lifted up unto vanity. We shall be distrustful of ourselves, having an abiding sense that our sufficiency is of God. We have far more to fear from within than from without. The hindrances to strength and success are far greater from the church itself than from the world. Unbelievers have a right to expect that those who profess to be keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus will do more than any other class to promote and honor by their consistent lives, by their godly example, and their active influence the cause which they represent. But how often have the professed advocates of truth proved the greatest obstacle to its advancement? The unbelief indulged, the doubts expressed, the darkness cherished, encouraged the presence of evil angels and opened the way for the accomplishment of Satan's devices. The adversary of souls is not permitted to read the thoughts of men, but he is a keen observer, and he marks the words, he takes accounts of the action, and skillfully adapts his temptations to meet the cases of those who place themselves in his power. If we would labor to repress sinful thoughts and feelings, giving them no expression in words or actions, Satan would be defeated, for he could not prepare his spacious temptations to meet the case. But how often do professed Christians, by their lack of self-control, open the door to the adversary of souls? Divisions and even bitter dissensions, which would disgrace any worldly community, are common in the churches, because there is so little effort to control wrong feelings and to repress every word that Satan can take advantage of. As soon as an alienation of feeling arises, the matter is spread before Satan for his inspection and the opportunity given for him to use his serpentine wisdom and skill in dividing and destroying the church. There is great loss in every dissension. Personal friends of both parties